He has enough for you. Isn't that good news? He ain't ran out. You know how many of us make jokes to leave a restaurant? We know, we run into somebody we know out the door. I ran into somebody the other day. I left that restaurant. I think it was a pizza place or something. I left out and I said, I saved you a slice or two. You know, we say that, don't we? I saved you a little bit. You know, I saved you some. Well, God has saved you some. And he's got plenty for you today, whatever it is you need. Because all of our tanks at some point are on empty, aren't they? And we're running on fumes. And we need different things. Some of us need regular. Some of us need mid-grade. Some of y'all need some high test up in here. I'm just saying. We all need different things. And we're going to read a story of where Jesus did a miracle. And we're going to tie this into what it means for us today. And I'm really excited about sharing this because I'm thankful that my life is not dependent upon natural resources, but on the kingdom resources, on what God has. And he don't ever run out of nothing. It's like my pastor said years ago, he don't just own the sheep on a hill, he owns the hill too, right? He owns it all. And so I'm thankful that there's enough. So let's get started in Mark this morning, chapter 6. Mark 6, and this is Jesus. Story of a miracle that Jesus had performed. You've heard this story before, but we're going to tie it into how it helps us today. I believe we can read the Bible and always apply it to our lives today in whatever way. Chapter 6, verse 30. The apostles gathered themselves together with Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. Now, what was happening here, Jesus sends disciples out to do ministry work. They're reporting back to Jesus of what they had done, lives they had touched, healings that had took place, whatever they did ministry-wise, they were catching Jesus up what they had been doing. And he said to them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure, not as much to even eat. Jesus is saying, take a break. Get away to a desert place and rest. Rest is good, right, Melanie Lewis? Rest. Sleeping is Melanie's number one hobby. She loves to sleep. I often said if Melanie had been born an animal, it would be a bear. Because she would sleep 3 or 4 months of the year and hibernate and then come on out only when it was warm in summertime and when it got cold, go back into a cave. Did y'all see the thing on Facebook where the bear's laying like gives his eyes wide open on his back? And it's got a caption that says, I knew I shouldn't have drunk that coffee. I thought that's pretty funny. That'd be terrible, wouldn't it? But the disciples, man, they were tired. They've been doing ministry work, preaching, and people don't understand this. I want y'all to know, I really do, I want all of you to know, that your pastor works more than just Sunday and Wednesday. Y'all know that, right? Okay, I hope you know that. I work more than just Sunday and Wednesday. So when y'all do the Sunday, you work a 2-day-a-week crack, I don't like that. I may smile, ha-ha, yeah, but inside I don't like it. Because I'm doing a lot more than working on Sunday and Wednesday. I just want you to know that. So ministry's hard. They've been pouring themselves out. They've been spending all this energy out of themselves. And they were tired. And Jesus says, go rest for a while and take a break. And sometimes we need to go to that desert place and rest and hear what God has to say. Verse 32. So they departed into a desert place by ship privately. They were trying to get away from the crowd to have some time to rest. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot out of the cities to them, and came together unto them. I want you to picture this scene. They were trying to get away to rest. People are following them and running after them to get to where Jesus is at. And if you do some studying, some of these folks ran 3 or 4 or 5 miles on foot to get to where Jesus was. I mean, man. We ride around Walmart parking lot for 30 minutes trying to find the third spot in line. Park and walk. You'd be done and out. Cars would be sitting there. I'm like, oh, my gosh, there's 2 spaces right there below you. Just pull in. I'm sitting there waiting. They're backing out. Little old lady trying to get out. Pulling in, getting out. Just, my gosh. Here we got folks walking 4 or 5 miles. You know why? They were hungry. Church, they were hungry. Jesus had something that nobody else could give them. There was something about this man. There was a hope. There was a healing. There was a provision that only he could give, that the world couldn't give. Their jobs didn't satisfy this need. Their wives, hallelujah, didn't satisfy that need. Their husbands didn't satisfy that need. Their precious little children didn't satisfy their need. Money couldn't satisfy their need. Going to the Roman games couldn't satisfy their need. Nothing could satisfy their need. They were chasing after Jesus because they wanted something that he had. We need to be hungry again and desire the things of God more than the things of the world. On Saturday, stadiums, and I'm a sports guy. I like watching sports. But man, on Saturday, stadiums all over the country are packed with college games. 80, 90,000 people packed into a stadium yelling their heads off. Spent $200 to go that day to sit there for 4 or 5 hours. By the time they get there, get parked, watch a game, and get gone, a whole day is spent, right, doing all this stuff. We see the entertainment world is packed because people have a desire to be there. But the greatest desire we should have is a hunger for God, because that's the only thing that goes with us. It's the only thing that matters. When your mind goes, and by the grace of God, mine won't, but some of our minds in here may go toward the end of our lives, and it may slip a little bit. Aren't you glad when your mind slips away, God doesn't? When your health slips away, God doesn't. When the cancer report comes in and says you've got cancer, God still stays and remains. No matter what you're battling or what you're going through, the only thing that goes with you to the very end of the world is God himself. Everything else passes away. I could lose my wife. I could lose my children. I could lose my home, the church, my job, my resources, my health, my good looks. Let's hope that don't go. I could lose all of those things. Every one of them can be gone. You know, God started with my hair. But you know what? It's okay. I got more to some of y'all, so I give praise for that. So all that can go, but the one thing that doesn't go is God. And so he gives us what we need to the very end. One thing a daughter was sharing with the funeral yesterday I thought was beautiful. So that when her dad passed away 6 weeks ago, right before he died, he was reaching up in the air like that. They said my mom did the exact same thing right before she died, laying there. My mom reached up in the air the exact same. Both her parents did the exact same thing. Gives you chills, don't it? What were they reaching for? Something more than what they had. Something more than what they knew. Something more than what they were experiencing. There was something greater they saw that was drawing them to reach. Just like these people, they were hungry. And they wanted to be fed. Look at the next verse. And I'm going to cross-reference a few verses. Look what Jesus said here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall still leave hungry, for they shall be filled. I promise you, God will fill your hunger. God will fill your thirst. If you're hungry enough, you know, Mel's made a lot of comments. My wife is one that's very, if you ever watch the show Monk, my wife is like Monk. I'm serious. She's a germophobic. I mean, she's a freak. She probably washes her hands 300 times a day. And she's very, she'll go to a restaurant and she'll see something happening in the kitchen when I don't even know where the kitchen's at. How do you even see that? There's a hair on that plate 4 tables over. What? How do you see that? What a world you must live in, my gosh. You know? And Melly's often says, if I was starving to death, I wouldn't touch that. Like liver mush. Anybody like liver mush? Yeah. Mella don't like liver mush. She said, I actually tried cat food one time. I was working at Food Line and one of the stalkers dared me back in my younger days. And so I took some dry cat food in my mouth and chewed it up. I didn't swallow it though. I spit it back out. But anyway, Melanie's often says, I don't care how hungry I was. I couldn't eat that or I couldn't touch that or you wouldn't see me, you know, drinking that. I said, baby, if you were hungry enough, you eat a worm. See, y'all don't think that. Y'all ain't been that hungry. You not been. I think you would if you got hungry enough. You're not quite there, baby. You're not hungry enough. You're not crawling around the desert going, agua for water. Agua. You've not got that point yet. These people were hungry. And Jesus says, if you're hungry and you're thirsty for righteousness, you're hungry for me, you're thirsty for what I have to offer, I promise you, you will not leave the table unfulfilled. You come to my table, you're going to eat. I'm going to make sure I give you exactly what you need, because that's the God that I serve. And the good thing is God's provision is not attached to our limitations
or our abilities. His provision is based on his kingdom and all the resources he has. Think about this. We believe God made the sun 93 million miles away from us. God made our earth, which spins on an axis and floats in the middle of nothing, and the only thing holding us up is what science calls gravity. We see God made the oceans and the seas. We talked last week how dolphins and whales talk to each other and how they communicate for miles and miles and miles apart through the ocean. That's amazing that a whale voice can communicate for miles away and understand what they're saying. You know, it's amazing. This is the God I serve. Now, if God made all of that, created all of that, holds all of that, sustains all of that, why would I possibly think he doesn't have what I need? Or he doesn't want to give me what I need because I've been a bad, bad boy. Been a bad, bad girl. I've not earned anything. You're right, you've not. That's why it's a gift. And God gives you this gift. You know, we give birthday gifts, right? Don't know really what started that because we couldn't help we was born. Wasn't up to us, right? But we were born. And we get rewarded every year for being born. That's a pretty cool gig. I didn't ask to be born. I wasn't earned to be born. God birthed me by his hand in the womb of my mother. And then every year, I get a present. Mom writes me a check. Happy birthday. So I love you. I love you too, Mama. It's a gift. I didn't do anything to deserve that gift. I just was born. When it comes to the grace of Jesus, we tend to think, God's not going to give me what I need because I don't deserve it. No, we don't deserve it. Absolutely we don't. But God looks beyond what we don't deserve and gives us that anyway. That's why it's called love and mercy and grace. Because we are his children and he provides for us. He has promised we will be filled. You don't have to leave here this morning hungry if you don't want to. God's got what you need to fill this right here. Next verse, 34. Back in the same chapter of Mark. Says, Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were a sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Let me talk to you about sheep just for a minute. Sheep is the one animal that has to be led in order to live. Do you know a sheep won't eat? It won't even eat unless a shepherd leads it to where it can eat. It won't drink anything unless a shepherd leads it to a place to drink. It will get attacked and destroyed by wolves and coyotes and other enemies if a shepherd's not there to watch and protect. Sheep have to be led. Jesus was moved with compassion because he saw their hunger. As Christians in here, that should be our heart, that we should have compassion toward others who are reaching out to us because they are hungry. It doesn't mean a preacher has to feed them. It could be any believer can feed them of what they need. Sometimes they just need a hug. They need a smile. They need a kind word. They need a listening ear. They need to be able to vent to you and go off on you like nothing, and you just sit there and take it sometimes because they need an outlet. Can we be at that point? I saw a YouTube video I thought was really neat, man. This guy's driving a taxi. He may have seen this, driving a taxi, and he slams the brakes. This guy, he about hits this guy. The guy gets out yelling at him, you know, cussing at him. No, you about hit, yeah. And the guy just smiled and waved. And the guy in the back of the cab says, man, how did that not fire you up? Him doing it, talking to you like that. He goes, I realize that people have a lot of garbage come in their lives. And sometimes they need just to unload that garbage. And so I just take it because I'm not going to let their garbage corrupt me. Sometimes people just need to a place to vent. They're not mad at you. They're mad at life. They're mad at their mother. They're mad at their past. They're mad at, you know, they're mad at with themselves. Something inside of them is hurting, and they lash out at you. People are hungry, and Jesus had compassion and took time to begin to teach them the word of God. 35. And when the day was now far spent, the disciples came and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go to a country and to the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. Now the day had come, and they're saying, Lord, they've got to go back to town. We're a few miles out. They're hungry. Let's send them back home so they can eat. I want to tie in this next verse in Isaiah 55:1. Everyone that thirsteth, come to waters. You have no money, come ye buy and eat. come buy wine and milk without money and without price. What Jesus offers you today comes at no cost to you. This, I mean, it truly, church, is a commercial that's honest. No down payment, no money sent in. You come to the Lord as you are, in the condition you are. You don't have to come a certain way. Let no church or religious people tell you that you've got to clean up and be a certain way to approach God. He said himself, come, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come as you are. He already knows how you, we can't fool God. We make a fool of the church folks, you know. You know, Ken may come to the altar and, you know, he may be having a lot of bad feelings, and but he can come to the altar and turn that altar face on, and all y'all just, oh, bless his heart. He's so humble and meek, and look at him crying before God. And Debbie's back here, you don't live with him. You have no idea he is at home. But he can't fool God. When we come to God, he already knows we're angry. We're bitter, we're broken, we're hurt. You know, we're carrying guilt and shame, and we're carrying pain, we're carrying scars, we're carrying junk from our past, we're carrying things that we shouldn't be carrying, and yet he loves us anyway. God didn't just die for the Baptists, y'all. And he didn't just die for the Pentecostals. He died for all people. I know Sunday school got out early this morning. Randy taught. He left about 10:37. So when it come out, I was telling myself, that's the difference in a Baptist teacher and a Pentecostal teacher. Bill keeps y'all at 11 o'clock, I mean at 10 o'clock. God died for all. He gave his life for humanity, not a certain people, and we ain't got to act a certain way for God to love us. We love our children, good and bad, right? Karina's got her son beside her. She's looking at him, and she's like, amen to that. Greg has not always honored his mother, and Greg's not always made right decisions in his life. But Karina loves Greg, no matter what happens. Greg is Karina's son, good, bad, and ugly. Loves her. I know you got a good mama. That's how God feels about us. He loves us through our good, our bad, and are ugly, I promise you. We have people trying to tell us to do this a certain way. Just come to God without no price and watch what happens. Look at verse 2. Prophet Isaiah. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread? You know what the prophet's saying? Why are you laboring for something that don't satisfy you? You ain't got to raise your hands, but some of us in here have went the drug route. Maybe you're still on the drug route, the alcohol route, still on the alcohol route. You know, the sex route, you're still in the sex route. You're doing all these things that the flesh desires, and you're spending your money and your labor and your effort in trying to fulfill your life with those things, and you find it leaves you still empty, doesn't it? It still leaves you empty. You wake up feeling worse many times. You wake up realizing this isn't what satisfies me. It's like eating Chinese food. You're hungry 2 hours later. No matter how much you eat, it doesn't matter. And when you're thirsty, y'all, don't ever drink lemonade. Ever. Because lemonade makes you thirstier. The world's like lemonade, right? We drink lemonade, and it's good, and we like lemonade. But then you're still thirsty. You drink more, and you're about to float away because you've drunk so much. It doesn't satisfy the thirst. You know what satisfies our thirst? Good old water. Yeah, good old God, yeah. The living water. Water is truly the beverage that satisfies your thirst. When I was a kid out playing ball in the backyard, and kids are missing out on all this now, man. Maybe some of you experienced this, but backyard football, be out in the backyard, plastic football, Nerf ball, real ball, whatever, it didn't matter, just something to throw. We'd be out there, and man, there wasn't nothing better on a hot June day than go to that water spigot and turn on that water hose and drink that water. Oh my gosh. Who cares it was environmentally unclean? Who cares the chemicals are going to kill me? What don't kill you makes you stronger. They got a song about that, don't they? I'm just saying, that was the best. I'd rather have that cold hose water than anything else. I really would. And I would, oh, it's so good. I'm thirsty now. It's just so good. Man, God satisfies. God is a bottle of water and a Snicker bar all wrapped up in one. God satisfies.
Snickers really does satisfy, by the way. Why do you spend money that don't satisfy? You labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken, listen diligently, listen closely unto me. And eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. God has what you need, not the world. And God has plenty of it. God ain't going to run out of his saving grace. God ain't going to run out of his peace and his mercy and his joy and his healing and his deliverance. God ain't going to never run out. There's never a time you're going to go to God and cry out, God, I need this in my life. And he's going to say, I'm sorry, I'm out of stock, or it's out of order. That's never going to happen with God. He has what you need. We limit God because we look at our limitations instead of God's unlimited resources. Man, God can do what he wants. God can wipe away your debt if you want to. God can heal you of your cancer if he wants to. God can save that wayward child. God can do whatever he wants to do. He's God, and he has all things at his command, everything. Let's not limit our God. Eat that which satisfies. God has what you need. That's why these people were running 4 or 5 miles to track Jesus down and hunt him down to hear what he had to say, because he gave them something that nobody else could give them. Just like the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years, and nobody could help her. And she heard about Jesus coming her way, and she pressed her way out of her home and through the crowd in her weakened, broken condition, unclean condition, to touch the hem of his garment. Do you have what I need, Lord? God, do you have? Doctors can't fix me. Doctors can't help me. I spent all my money, all my time. God, I'm a basket case. I'm emotionally wrecked. Nobody can help me. Can you help me? She touched his garment, and immediately the Bible says virtue went out of Jesus into that woman, and he looked at her and says, your faith has made you whole. God had what she needed. Hallelujah. And God's got what you need, I promise. Let's go back to Mark. Verse 36:7. He answered and said to them, give them to eat. Give them to eat. And he said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? To translate this, we don't know what that means today. None of us would unless we looked it up. 200 penny worth translated into 8 months' worth of wages. It would have took 8 months of wages to bought enough food to get to these people. Plus, how would they get it and get it back? So what was Jesus going to do? Gee, we have no food. We got 5,000 men plus women and children. What are we going to do? I wonder what God's going to do here. Let's see. Verse 38. He says, how many loaves do you have? He says, we have 5 loaves. And 2 fish. Now, let me explain about the loaves. The loaves were not like we get today in the grocery store. They weren't a Merita or Sunbeam loaf. These were small round cakes. So only 5 little small round biscuits cakes and 2 fish. That wouldn't fill none of us up. That wouldn't fill me up. Well, maybe 5 biscuits would. 5 of grandma's biscuits. 5 biscuits and 2 fish. And that's all they had. So what's God going to do? God is stumped, Gordon. Gee, Wally, 2 fish, 5 loaves. What do I do with this? Look what he said. Verse 39. He commanded them to make all sit down by companies under the green grass. He sat them down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. He was organizing the people. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to disciples to set before them, and the 2 fishes divided among them all. Now, brother, you're talking about stretching a dollar. That's better than my dad did growing up. I mean, you're taking 2 fish and 5 little loaves, and God's going to allow that to feed 5,000. This seems almost impossible. And it is impossible to us. But we're talking about the one that spun the stars. The one that said, let there be light. And light came. The one that said, let the oceans form, the dry land form, and it appeared. This is the one that took dust from the earth and blew breath into it and created Joe Brown. Aren't we glad for Joe Brown? Blew his breath into dust and made a human life. That seemed pretty impossible to know I'm nothing but dirt. Right? We're nothing but dirt.
Saved by grace. Here he takes, says, God, I need you to bless this. I need you to expand this. I need you to do. Look at the next verse. Look at what John 6:35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Isn't it symbolic? He broke this bread to feed them naturally, but later he will become the bread which came down from heaven that would save the life of the world. Because all that come to Jesus will never thirst. It doesn't mean we don't have any needs. Look, I don't want to paint a false picture. Don't mean I come to Jesus, I ain't got no more problems. Man, you in this world, you're going to have problems. There's people in this world, and they got problems. And because they're a problem, they're going to make you have a problem. That's how it is. But it does mean that I don't have to seek anything else beyond this for true peace, true joy, true satisfaction. Jesus is enough. The world can't give me what God can give me. Because the world can take it away. But God will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He will be with you to the end of the world. Neither life, nor death, nor principality, nor powers, nor angels, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other creature shall separate me from the love of God through Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 37 through 39. Nothing's going to separate me. The world can cause a lot of problems, but if I come to Jesus, he's offered something that... See, I've said before, there's a difference in happiness and joy. Happiness is attached to what's happening to you. But joy comes from God. I can have joy when there's no happiness around. Because I know who I serve. He's my king in my good days and my bad days. He's my king when I'm up and when I'm down. He's my king everywhere that I go. He remains. He's my king. So I can take joy that he's my father who loves me beyond all my circumstances and all my trials and all my tribulations. He's not going to leave me. He is the bread which came down from heaven. So let's see what happened to these fish and loaves. Let's see if he was able to do something with this. Verse 42. And after he blessed them and broke it, look what it's verse 42. They did all eat and were filled. All of these people. And this is reported in other gospels as well. In the other gospels, it talks about this story was 5,000 men, plus women and children. Five little round pieces of bread and two fish was multiplied. Can you imagine his disciples when he says, start giving it out? Okay, God, time to get to Fred here. We're going to be out, just so you know. Just keep giving it. Just keep giving it. You know what happened? God met the need at hand. If there had been 50 people there, that would have been what he needed. No difference in 5 people or 5,000 people to God. The stars are unlimited, right? We can't count them. Go out there one night and try counting the stars, see how far you get. I told you I tried that one time. It's very frustrating. You're not going to get far counting the stars. Get a handful of sand in your hand and look at it and spread them out in your palm. I've done that too before at the beach. I'm an only child, y'all. And I was spread it. Mom and Daddy gave nobody to play with. I was spread that out. You can't count them grains of sand. It's impossible. If God did that and did that, and we know about space, there's no end to it. I mean, as smart as mankind's become, and we can look light years into the future of the space, and they can see it goes on and on and on, and there's no sign they've seen yet in a telescope like a Roadrunner that says the end. They've not found that sign. It just keeps on going. If God can do all of that, don't you think he can meet your need? He's got what you need. All these people, God multiplied. Now, I've often visualized in my head this story and wondered how it happened, Gordon. You know? I mean, would they have it in a bucket, and then every time they reached in, another one just appeared? You know? That's what I picture, that as they had this maybe a little bucket passing around. Maybe they had a bread bucket and a fish bucket. The two fish were in one. I don't know. And as they handed it out, another fish appeared. Bread. Can you imagine disciples seeing this happening? Oh, my gosh. This is incredible. What a miracle. Not only does he heal the blind and heal the crippled and raise the dead. But he can feed the 5,000 with absolutely nothing. Remember, he turned water into wine. I mean, all the things that God did. And this does not give y'all permission to go out and get drunk on wine. I get that all the time. Jesus drunk wine. It never said he drunk wine. It says he turned water into wine. It never says he drunk wine, just so you know that. Just saying. People love using that verse. Boy, we can justify what we want anything, can't we? We can take this. Oh, man, we can. We can take that scripture. Next verse. They took up 12 baskets. After they fed all these people, 5,000 men plus women and children, they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. Not only did God feed everybody there, there were 12 baskets of leftovers. And I'm sure that was probably for the disciples, for their provision, to provide for them for that moment and the next day. Can you imagine? Don't you love going to your grandparents' house and they give you stuff and pack up, take home with you? Pack you a plate, get you a bag of groceries, take this. I got some cookies here, wrap them up, take them. I love that. I need to go see my parents more often. I love that. They send stuff home with you. We like that. You go to a restaurant today, you have leftovers for tomorrow lunch, take it to work, heat it up, got the leftover. Oh, man, it's good. God provided for these people, not just spiritually, but physically. He met their spiritual need first. He met their natural need second. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, right? Then all these things will be added to you. God's got to come first. If God don't come first, nothing works out right. God's got to be number one. Everything else follows that. Without him, we would have no hope and no life. Next verse. And they did eat of the loaves. Here it is. And there were about 5,000 men. There were also women and children as well. All of them ate. What a number God fed. Go to the next verse. Philippians 4:19. We'll close out with this verse. But my God shall supply all your need. According. And this verse to me is so powerful because his supply is according to his resource. According to his riches in glory. Our needs not met by what we have because we're limited. We're limited in every way, physically, financially, mentally. We're limited in every way. I can only make so much money. I can only work so hard. I can only pay my bills so much. I can only stay so healthy. I can only do, there's things that we do to try to help our lives, but they're based on our limitations. But not on, if we start looking at God's treasury, man, God's bigger than Fort Knox and the Denver Mint and the IRS. You know, God is bigger than all of that. Everything belongs to God. Not one leaf turns in our yard without God's command. And I truly believe that. Not one little woolly worm crawls without God speaking to it. I saved the woolly worm. Remember that, Shirley? Yeah, I saved the woolly worm. We was on a walking trail, and there was a little woolly worm right there, and I picked it up with my little finger, and I put it over in the woods so it wouldn't get stepped on. So for those, thank you very much. So see, I'm an animal lover and a God lover. You can't be both, just so you know. My God will supply your needs. He's got what you need. Every one of you in here have something you need. Some of you are battling sickness that you need God to heal you of. Some of you are battling financial struggles you need God to provide you for. Some of you are battling demons that you need to be set free from. Some of you have a physical healing now that you need God to touch you. Some of you have things going on in your mind that you need God to bring healing to, that there's confusion and there's stuff there that you need settled. God has what you need. Be like these people and come to him and say, Lord, I'm here and I need you. Will you give me what I need? There's a lot of pain in our lives, a lot of hurt in our lives, a lot of struggles in our lives. And God knows them all and God cares for them all and God has what you need to meet that. I promise. Let's stand to our feet. Margie, play a little something soft. God, in a very changing world right now, we see things that are a lot different than they were many years ago, and we see a shift, some good, some bad, Lord. But Lord, you remain the same. You are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore.
There are hungry hearts in here today, God, that have a desire for more than where they're at. The diet they have been eating is not satisfying. The water they've been drinking is not quenching their thirst. The life they're living, God, leaves them begging for more. You have that more. You have that need. Whatever it is, God, you have that for them. As we stand in your presence before a very holy, righteous, loving Father, God, we stand here asking you to fill our hunger and to quench our thirst. I'm tired of the day-to-day routine with nothing changing and nothing being different. I'm ready for more. I'm ready for you to take me deeper, God, into your kingdom. I'm ready, God, to eat something more fulfilling. I'm ready to drink something more satisfying. I'm tired of laboring for that which doesn't give me what I need. Today, God, I'm crying out and I'm asking, fill my heart. Fill my life. Cover me. Feed me. Send to me exactly what I need for my life today. In the name of Jesus, I stand here and I ask. And Lord, your Bible says, your word says that I will be filled. You have promised to fill me if I hunger and thirst. Fill and satisfy me this day in the name of Jesus. Amen. Go ahead and sing, Marjorie.
Now that I found you, I don't want nobody else. Now that I found you, you have filled my emptiness. The search for all I need is finally through. Now that I found you.
They have found what they need through this message. That they leave, God, with their hearts a little bit fuller, their hands a little bit fuller of what satisfies. That they know, God, and realize after hearing this message that if you can multiply the bread and the fish to feed all those thousands of people, that God, you can feed us. That you can pour into us what we need here today. And we leave, God, expecting that fulfilling to be in our lives and to come. Thank you, God, for giving your life for us. And we have found you, God. That is all that we need. The searching is over. There's nothing greater to search for, nothing more to search for than knowing a loving Savior who died and rose for our sins and is coming back again to call our name, that we will rise when our name is called. Thank you, Father, for your grace, your mercy, and your love in this place. Bless your people and let us leave here changed by the word that has been spoken today. It is your word for your people, in Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Y'all be seated this morning. Ushers, come on up. We will be here Wednesday night for Thanksgiving service, 7 o'clock. If you can make it, we'd love to have you. And we're going to be passing the mic around Wednesday night, letting each of you, that means you're going to be here, Gordon? Okay. Each of you, to be able to thank God for something Wednesday night. I want you to share. And what I want you to be thinking about, I want you to think about maybe something that God's brought you through that you can thank him for. You know, maybe an incident in your life that God saved you, rescued you. Something that maybe the church hasn't heard before that you can thank God for. So we'll do that. And you don't have to, I don't want to scare nobody. You ain't got to speak in the mic. You can pass it right along. It ain't going to hurt my feelings. Some of y'all are backward and shy, unless you're at a football game. So, but we'll do that. So be here Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And our little Karina will be with us too, so I'm excited about that. And hopefully Mike will be with us down from Pittsburgh. And we're glad to have. We also got Karina brought a friend from Pittsburgh, James. His name's James, guy with the glasses. And he's from Pittsburgh, but don't hold that against him. We love him, right? So anyway, glad to have you, Brother James. All righty. This is the last Sunday in November. Next Sunday will be December. Isn't that crazy? We're having our Christmas dinner December 15th. It'll be a Sunday night at 6 o'clock. December 15th, our annual Christmas church dinner. The kids will be doing some Christmas songs. You know, we'll miss that. And then we'll eat first and come in and have the kids sing next. That'll be 15th of December. So mark that down. Invite your friends. Invite someone. Don't go to church. It's a great time to get somebody in the church on that event. So we're excited about that. Let's pray over our offering. Father, we thank you for this message and this word. We thank you that you have enough for us. Whatever it is we need, God, you got plenty of it. And we are thankful you never run out of your resources. For those in here that are in need, God, I do pray their hunger has been satisfied and they will leave here feeling more filled than they came in by your word. Bless this offering and use it for your glory. In the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.